Today is Thursday, April 23rd, 2026, and this is the Week in Charts. I'm sure you want to thank all you guys and gals for attending. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedules to be here, he tried to say. So what are we talking about? Well, obviously, current market conditions, I always say I have a lot to say about that, but this week, I really mean it. Your questions on trading, just feel free to type them in at any time. If you're watching live on YouTube, it might take me a second to get there, but I will check every now and then. All right, I want to continue with the missing piece, and that is for a trader to recommend the trade and actually take the trade and then let the chips fall where they may, good, bad, and indifferent. And that'll make sense in just a minute if this is your first show. A little more fodder for research. A previous client sent me something they did a while back, and kind of interesting. You know, I'll show you that and some research that kind of spawned. And just this is basically some fodder for research. Nothing has been really fleshed out tremendously just yet, but I think it shows some promise. And we'll get to that in just one second. If you want to attend live, davidlander.com/webinar. I'm not sure if that link is still, it's still has some issues. So if you're having trouble, you can always reach me at davidlander.com and I can get you a direct link for this. I'll bring up that contact information in just a second. Once again, here's a disclaimer screen. As you know, you can lose money trading and all predictions about the future. And a lot of stuff can happen between now and then. There's all my contact information. Obviously, feel free to take a screenshot of that. All right, as I've said ad nauseum, let me just say it as quickly as possible. The missing piece for me early in my trading career was being able to see other traders. I was doing okay, and I had really good periods, and I had really crappy periods, and I had periods where I just kind of, you know, make a little, lose a little, make a little, lose a little, kind of like the Brian Gelber, you know, you're hot, you're cold, you're hot, you're cold. Three months out of the year, you're hot, you're so hot, you can't sleep at night. 3 months out of the year, you're cold, you're so cold, you can't hit the side of the barn from inside the barn. And then the other 6 months, you grind it out, and the whole time you're wondering, geez, am I ever going to figure this out? But anyway, that's the ongoing life of the trader. And being able to see other traders go through this made me realize that, hey, they have ups and downs. They have, they feel inadequate at times. They get pissed off at times, and so on and so forth. Everybody thinks a switch is going to flip and bam, you're a trader, and all of these emotions are going to go away. And that just doesn't happen. Anyway, seeing other traders actually trade was very important. As they say each week, anybody can cherry pick a couple of big winners. Show me everything, okay? Good and bad, warts and all. Anyway, here's DNN. This is a former mystery chart. And you can see it was in a pretty decent trend, pulls back to the moving average. That's a Landry light pullback, one of my favorite patterns. There's the parameters there, trigger is here, or entry is here, stop is down here, initial profit target is up here. Well, let's see what happened. So after trading back and forth a little bit, it initially took off, but unfortunately it didn't tag that IPT and it's come back in. Now, at the end of March, we were down 1382. And as I think I've said in prior weeks, the old me before the trading service might have been frustrated with something like this and have gotten out probably a long time ago. But the new me, I don't know how long I've been doing this service, 20-something years, says, you know what, Dave, just follow the plan. Now, they don't always come back, but as you can see, it has potential. Let's not start kissing each other just yet, but it has potential to make a little money. It's been flirting with profitability here and there. So that's a $1,200 swing. Let's start kissing each other. But so far, it appears to be a comeback kid. Stay tuned. CLMT, I talked a lot about this one last week. Nice uptrend, nice Landry light, meaning the lows are greater than the moving average. Remember that concept for later. I'll show you something in just one second. A nice little double top knockout move. This is what I talked about last week. So go and watch the archives. You can't sleep at night. So there's parameters down below. Entry is here. Stop is down here. And the initial profit target is up here. And you can see that it did trigger an entry. It took it a little while to get started, but it did rally up to hit the IPT and has pulled back since. So we banked 964. This arrow should be right there. And we have 473 open. So let's just see what happens. Good, bad, or indifferent. MNST was in a nice longer-term uptrend, makes all-time highs, and then has a reversal bar here. And then you can see it begins to slide. So up until this high here, everybody was happy who bought the stock and feeling pretty good. Once it begins to slide, that puts pressure on the people. A little bit of a retrace rally, as I say quite often. People generally don't sell stocks on the way back up, unless, of course, they get back to break even. What happens is they keep waiting for the stock to rally, hoping to get out at break even. And if the stock begins to implode, a lot of times they'll just hang on to the stock until forced out. And that's what makes trading these transitional patterns. Sometimes, the last, this would be one, and there's another one, haven't worked out so well because the market, of course, went straight back up. But that's okay. Anyway, bow tie to the downside, a little bit of a pullback. There's the parameters. By the way, all these parameters come directly from a trading service. This is every single trade I recommend. It's what I've been doing for quite a while here with the methodology in action. If you go to davelearner.com/archives, you can look at those. If you want to see them a little bit closer to real time, go to go to youtube.com/DaveLandry, and you can see them back a few after a few days. The question is, would put DNN on my radar? Good question. So I don't know if we can go all the way back there. Let's see. So DNN is uranium stock. And if you go in and look at URNM, Brian, on that same day, it was also set up as a Landry-like pullback. So that's why it caught my eye. It caught my eye. I didn't look at uranium first and say, oh, uranium looks good. Let me go find an uranium stock. I went through 2,000 stocks roughly, as I do every day. And this one caught my eye as a Landry Light pullback, a nice Landry Light above the moving average, about 20 bars or so. And then it pulls back to the moving average. And right here, this is a knockout bar, TKO type of bar. So that's why I picked that one. But yeah, good question. If you go back in and watch the archives, like for instance, on this one, CLMT, this would probably be a mystery chart back on, back toward the end of March, if you're going to watch some week of charts. And just to close the loop, youtube.com/DaveLandry, I put up my services delayed there, or actually make them public delayed. And the reason I put them on YouTube is because my international audience asked me to put them up there so they could do YouTube translation, which is pretty good, by the way. So if you're if English is your second language, the service might still be for you. Anyway, a little bit of a knockout bar here, double top knockout. Let's see, I think we went through this one already. Yeah, okay. Okay, anyway, back to Monster. You can see all-time highs, and then you have this bow tie to the downside. So that suggests that this market is rolling over. Also, look at the tons and tons of overhead supply. As I just said, people might be looking to get out and break even. If you can get a stop above that, then you know you're wrong for sure should the market rally up. There's all the parameters. Entries here, protective stop up here, additional profit target down here. And you can see it initially moved nicely in our favor, but unfortunately has begun to rally since. So when I took this snapshot, we had negative 64 open. And it's having a rally day, so that number is going to be a little uglier than that. All right, I have some more fodder for research for you. I received this email a few days ago, and this is a former client of mine, and he said that he used the bow ties a while back with the VIX-M, and he caught an 84% run. And so this, of course, had me fire up my charts and do a little research to see what he said. Now, before we get into it, keep in mind that the VIX is a reversion to the mean market. So when it gets stretched to one side, kind of like walking the dog, when the dog on a leash obviously gets kind of taunt to one side of the sidewalk, it tends to pull back and go to the other and kind of back and forth. So a perfect sine wave would kind of give you an example of a reversion to the mean type of market. It gets stretched to one side and then implodes, it gets stretched to the other side. And as I learned from Larry Connors many, many years ago, I'm from the 1900s, that it tends to overshoot itself when it does that. Now, every now and then, volatility does increase over time or decrease. The point I'm trying to make is you don't want to look at something like the VIX. And I see people do head and shoulder tops and head and shoulder bottoms and all these different things that could equate to like the psychology of a price-based market. This is volatility. Volatility acts a little bit different. But what's kind of interesting is it can trend, volatility can increase quite a bit over time, okay? And it can decrease quite a bit over time. Now, one thing to kind of think about though is when it gets really, really stretched, it turns back into a reversion to the mean type of market, or it's due to turn back. So you got to watch that carefully. But this is kind of turning the VIX, most of my VIX stuff is reversion to the mean. This is kind of turning it on its head. Now, back up a few weeks in the week of charts, and I talked about increasing volatility and decreasing volatility based on price itself using historical volatility, HV. And it's kind of interesting. This was probably about 6 years ago or so. My brother-in-law's father-in-law, who I'm friends with, he's a really cool guy. He's a trip. But one thing, the market was getting crazy a while back, and he said that, you know, every time that volatility starts increasing, it repeats, this pattern repeats over and over. The market then begins to sell off really, really hard. And he just kind of learned something by accident empirically that when the volatility increases, either in price or the VIX, okay, the market does tend to sell off. And that's one thing that I did a few weeks back, just looking at historical volatility with a moving average could be a way to help you time the market. Now, what I'm throwing out here is some tools for potential that could be potentially fleshed out a little further. But I like to throw out ideas as I get them and see if anybody else has any thoughts on that too. So the premise is a falling VIX is good for markets and a rising VIX is bad. Now, I have a the bow ties plotted on the VIX. So this line in the background is the close of the VIX. And this line up here is the S&P 500. So VIX is down here. The moving averages are based on the VIX. And then down here, the proper order, okay? So if the 10 is less than 20 and the 20 is less than 30, 10 simple, 20 exponential, 30 exponential, as they say ad nauseum, then you're in downtrend proper order, okay? So if you're basing that on price, that would be a negative thing, okay? Like S&P is in downtrend proper order, you probably don't want to rush out and buy them. If they're in uptrend proper order, you probably don't want to rush out and sell them. Anyway, so what's happening here is going to be just the opposite. So I made the down green and the up red. So if you were just looking at an S&P chart with the bow ties, green would be good and red would be bad. But it's just the opposite of the VIX. So the premise is you want to be out of the market when the VIX is rising and in the market when it's falling. Now, the super short-term stuff that I talk about a lot would mean that if the market is really, really stretched, even if it's rising, right, then you look for that reversion to the mean move. But this is just kind of a general longer-term type of observation. So here's a green period, or yellow would mean that the moving averages aren't necessarily in uptrend or downtrend proper order. One of them is out of order. So it's 10 greater than 20, 20 greater than 30. At some point, maybe the 30 is greater than 20 or whatever, but green in this particular case means that, as you can see in the chart, the 10 is less than the 20, the 20 is less than the 30. When they cross back and forth a little bit, it goes yellow, okay? And then back to green when they're in downtrend proper order again. So this is a little backwards because I inverted the colors just to make it easier to see visually. But if you were basing this on price, up would be good, uptrend proper order would be good, and downtrend proper order would be bad. So hopefully that makes sense. But anyway, during that period, to my surprise, you had mostly a falling VIX, green and yellow, okay? And the market had a pretty good run. Now the VIX turned red, meaning that the proper order was going higher, okay? And that VIX was pulling away from the moving average and rallying. And you can see that the market was a little bit higher, but more importantly, it did have a couple of big spills during that period. So if you back the chart out a little bit, let me just back all this stuff out. one thing you could notice is, okay, we're in uptrend proper water, but keep in mind, moving averages are going to have a lot of lag to them, okay? And then you had this huge spike in the VIX, okay? So when that VIX gets that stretched away from the moving averages, usually that's when the reversion to the mean kicks in. You can see that happen twice in this chart. So when you do have a big peak like this, and then even back here, you can see the VIX peaked, okay? You look for that reversion to the mean move down in the VIX and up in the market, okay? And you can see that happen there, and then same thing happened again right here, okay? Down in the VIX and then up in the market. So anyway, there were a few big spills in that period when the VIX was in uptrend proper order. Now you can see downtrend proper order here. Market was a little wide and loose. It ended higher, but there was some volatility along the way. And again, there were a few spikes in the VIX that maybe on a shorter term time basis, you could have paid attention to that. I'm just kind of throwing out a general observation here. And when I put it out on X, somebody came back, and probably rightfully so, and said, no, it's not going to test out. I'm not sure that you want to trade something like this mechanically, okay? But I do think it's fodder for research. And I do think that maybe each day that you come in, you might want to say, what's the proper order of the VIX, okay, with the vis-a-vis the bow tie moving averages. And you can see that if they're in uptrend proper order, okay, that's a bad thing. And we had a pretty serious spill here. Now the market did begin to take off. And then let me just back this out one more time. But notice what happened here. You had an extreme peak in the VIX, and then it began to implode. And if you go back and watch, I know I keep last week at a band camp and you, but if you watch previous webinars, I talked a lot about using a 10-day simple moving average in more of a reversion to the mean type of thing. If it gets stretched away like a rubber band, then it tends to snap back. So during this serious slide, when you have these big peaks like this, the market did rally from those peaks. And keep in mind, again, there is some lag. And notice that the moving averages all began to turn down when that VIX began to implode. So maybe there's a discretionary thing you could do here too, like, okay, well, we're in uptrend proper order because the VIX has been trending higher, which means stocks were likely trending lower, okay? And it all boils down to, again, volatility, price volatility increasing, which is also VIX volatility likely increasing too. Bad for markets, volatility decreasing, good for markets, okay? To a point, to an extent. And that extent is when the complacency or the fear gets stretched, which is getting back to the reversion to mean stuff. But anyway, that VIX did begin to implode quite a while before those bow ties flipped over, okay? So here's your VIX here. Here's your VIX here. You can see it just skyrocketed higher, and then it begins to implode. It has a little bit of a bounce, and then continues to implode. And then the moving averages flip over to the downside, eventually catch up. So on a net-net basis, if you're waiting for that crossover to happen, the market really didn't lose that much because it recovered sharply. But you need to look at the peak trough analysis and see that, okay, this market had a really serious spill, obviously. And anyway, moving averages back to the downside and then back to the upside. So again, I'm not saying you should rush out and trade this mechanically because there are periods of time like right here where it would be negative, but the market actually ended higher. But yet again, notice that you had some serious slides that happened here. And then also, you had a big reversion to the mean type of move. Okay, so you're way down here with the VIX, which is more of a good thing, right? When that VIX is kind of low, but not stretched, and then you have the market obviously had a bit of a rally out of that move. Okay, so when the VIX begins to implode, the market tends to go higher. But keep in mind, these moving averages are going to be a little slow to catch up. So this might be a little bit longer term timing tool. And then you could drill down within and say, okay, well, we should be out of the market, but this major spike here suggests that maybe the move is over. and then think about getting in back in. But anyway, just kind of a tool, and hopefully that made sense. One thing that I thought about, which might kind of shorten the time horizon a little bit and have a little bit of lag, and I thought about this earlier this morning, is what if we use Landry Light with the VIX, and then once again, upside Landry Light red and downside Landry Light green, just the opposite of what you think. So anyway, you can see that when the lows are greater than moving average, it counts it down here. This is a 30 EMA. This is a Landry Light down here, okay? As long as you have upside Landry Light, as long as that VIX is pulling away from the moving average, okay, you might want to think about being out of the market or short. And you can see that you had a pretty serious slide here. But then again, notice when the VIX began to implode, the market came back sharply. So over that period of time, even though you had one bar where it intersected the moving average, and then the rest were above. And that's one thing I didn't have time to flesh out, is maybe when that VIX does that reversion to the mean move after some Landry Light, it gets back to the moving average. That's when you might want to maybe not be as bearish, maybe consider being switching your position, whatever the case may be. And alongside just the opposite too. So if you're way below the moving average and you begin to revert back to it, then you might want to say, okay, well, let's just think about getting out. So let me just flesh that out a little further. So right here, you can see the highs are less than the moving average. Okay. And that's a count of how many days they're below. And then you can see here, it reverts back to the mean. So that's a case where you might not want to be as bullish in the market, but I just did these somewhat mechanically. And so this little line needs to go a couple over, but you get the idea. So that was, in general, a good period for the market, although we did have a bit of a spill in between. Now, if you look at the market from February on, where you had lots and lots and lots of upside Landry Light in the VIX, okay, you can see we obviously had a pretty serious spill. So all I'm saying here is if you have one bar of Landry Light above the moving average, okay, you want to be short the market or out of the market. And again, these things can be fleshed out a lot more, because maybe when you're getting some of these huge spikes in here, you might want to be a little bit less bearish. But anyway, as a general statement, if the lows of the VIX are greater than the moving average, you want to be short because the VIX is increasing. And just the opposite on the long side, if the highs of the VIX are below the moving average, you want to be long. So hopefully, in my head, it makes a lot more sense than what's coming out. So hopefully that makes a lot of sense. And then notice here, you can see that the VIX did stretch away quite a bit from the moving average, okay? And it did begin to implode. So once it gets stretched and comes back to the moving average and you no longer have Landry Light, either upside or downside, that might be a case where you might want to look to cover in the market. And there's no money management here. I'm just trying to see if there is a bit, and I don't know if the edge is the right word. Edge implies mechanical, but maybe a tool that could help you time a little bit using the VIX. And the other thing too is keep in mind the VIX only matters when it matters. So maybe if it's hovering around that moving average, you don't worry about the VIX or try to use the VIX for timing. But anyway, the general idea is rising VIX, falling market, falling VIX, rising market to an extent, okay? Then the reversion to the mean will eventually kick back in. So if we keep going higher in a somewhat orderly fashion, eventually the market will become sort of complacent, that VIX will kind of continue to drop, okay? The VIX, by the way, is a hypothetical number based on at the money options 30 days out, perpetual 30 days out. Very complex formula. Just know it's measuring how expensive options are, and they're using puts and calls in the calculation. And when that number skyrockets, it suggests that the market is due. Like if you get a VIX of 60, I think there's a rule of 16. So let me just do this real quick. 60 instead of trying to do it in my head. So a VIX of 60 suggests that the market's going to move 3.75% a day, which is a bit ridiculous. Okay. And that's just so extreme that there's just usually just this capitulation and the market's imploding and everything's getting really ugly. And then you usually see a reversal after that. So I'm kind of turning the VIX on its head a little bit. Normally, again, if it gets stretched, you buy a market to the upside. Okay. If it gets stretched to the downside, you sell a market. But in this case, I'm just seeing if there's something as a general longer term trend. Now that reversion to the mean stuff I talk about, I used to apply that to a short term time horizon. Now I'm just looking at an intraday time horizon, look to catch an intraday move. Whereas this could be some sort of longer term type of opportunities. I hope, hopefully that all made sense. So you can see here, Landry Light to the upside and the market sold off. Landry Light to the downside. And in this case, the market did sell off a little bit. Okay. So again, mechanically, it might not be the best thing in the world, but it didn't really go down that much. And then we had a really serious sell off in the market. And notice that you had Landry Light in the VIX. Okay. And from signal to signal, the move wasn't extreme, but you did have an extreme move in between, okay? And that's something that I talk a lot about, like with the TFM 10% system, is you might get out here and you might be getting in back here, okay? But that's not important. You know, like what's important is, or even if you're getting a little higher, what's important is if the market drops 30 or 40 or even 50% or more between here and here, okay? Being out of that is very important. Or as the kids say nowadays, important. It drives me crazy. Short trip. Anyway, you can see green here means VIX is either below the moving average or just kind of touching the moving average a little bit. And again, you know, maybe when the VIX is, reverts back or whatever, then you might want to just sit on your hands a little bit and see if you get another upside signal or a downside signal. But you can see that was a pretty good run. And, you know, like all trend following stuff, it prints money for a while and then you get chewed up, okay? And you can see it turned red. And the market ended a little lower. It had a little spike lower. Green, for the most part, a little higher. Red, it actually, that one obviously wouldn't have worked, okay? This is a nice little green move. That's pretty good. This one's kind of all over the place, okay? But notice that you did have a pretty serious spill in here and also sold off fairly hard here too. So even though it ended higher about the same as where you started, it did have some pretty serious troughs in between. That's a green one, a little bit higher. It did take off nicely for a while. There's no money management in this, okay? But you might want to consider, you know, if putting in a little money management or something. Market was kind of all over the place here, but it did have a pretty serious spill before it ended up pretty much Flatsville. So again, money management, and then also paying attention to the reversion to the mean. Now, I don't want to talk out of both sides of my mouth, but there's got to be a way to factor in the fact that, okay, we're getting stretched by some other metric, let's say the distance from the 10 simple, okay? And so when you're getting that stretched, you know there's a chance that market's going to reverse. So the longer term signal might say stay short, but then a short term signal when this VIX implodes is going to say buy, okay? And you can see that run out here was pretty nice. And then again, kind of all over the place, but you know, maybe when it reverts back to the 10 to the 30 EMA, you might want to consider exiting the market, okay? And then getting back in when it drops below. But even though it's wide and loose, overall it worked its way higher. And then the trend from February to April was a pretty serious slide. And then notice that we had a nice little run higher since, and then take a look at the highs of the VIX versus the moving average. And obviously, we had a pretty good run there. Now, also, again, look at the bottom here. And you did have a spike in the VIX that came back in. So shorter term, that would have suggested a bounce in the market. So that is something else to pay attention to. Anyway, a little fodder for research. Like I said, in my head, it makes a lot more sense than what's coming out. So hopefully that makes sense. And if not, I'll be happy to take questions on it and follow up in future webinars. Somebody asked me to take a look at the Qs with the TFM 10% system. Before we do that, let's take a look at the P's. You can see the P's had a pretty serious slide, obviously, coming into this melt-up. But it was a near miss, okay? So the sell is a close, a weekly close, a calendar weekly close. So it would have to be on a Friday or the last day of the trading week, on a holiday week. Close 10% or more away from the 50-week closing high and a close below the 50-week moving average. So in this particular case, it closed below the 50-week moving average, but did not close 10% or more away for the 50-week closing high. So it was not a sell signal. Now on the buy side, you need two bars of upside Landry light, lows greater than the 50-week moving averages. These are weekly charts, remember. And it has to be within 10% of all-time highs. So this was a near miss. It did reverse from there. It did actually dip a little bit more the following week. And like I said last week, I'm following this system for my daughter's leftover college funds. And the idea there is to pull them out of the market when it starts getting ugly, like back here on this sell signal, even though this is a Q's, you get the idea. I pulled them out. I'm sure the P's were also a sell back here. And then put them back in when the market began to rally. But anyway, the Qs would have gotten long back here on this bar there. And then you did have a sell signal recently. Now, this is based on the original parameters of the S&P system, okay? So the system was designed around the S&P 500, whereas the Qs are a little more volatile. Now, before we get to that, the buy would for the Qs would actually be way up here, okay? Or wherever we close on Friday sans an implosion, okay? So if the market implodes and goes all the way back to the moving average, because we need two bars of Landry light, God forbid, then that would not be a buy, okay? So as I said a second ago, the system was designed for the S&P 500. The Qs right now, and probably in general, are 25% more volatile. And although it works at 10%, if you go back a couple of years, I did take a signal, a buy signal with the 10% line, and I wrote it out for, I forget how much, it was a lot, like 100 points or whatever in the Qs. But I think if you were to put this to work longer term, those parameters might be a little bit bigger. I see people try to use a TFM 10% system in something like Bitcoin, which is super volatile. I don't know if you can make a system like this work in something that's less volatile like that, because your sell line might be like 20% or 30% or something really crazy. But for the S&P 500, I found that it works fairly well. Nothing's perfect, of course. And if you try to make it perfect, you're going to curve fit. And then that's a whole another conversation, but likely won't work in the future. So although it works at 10%, it's possible that it would work better at a larger sell zone. You would avoid, because you could see it really didn't, close that far into the zone. So just a thought on that, okay? Now shifting gears real quick, Ledger 100, just want to show you, speculation is live and well. All of these stocks were put in here at new closing highs, okay? Now, as I say quite often, you don't want to rush out and buy new closing highs, but if you're going to buy a portfolio of 100 stocks, then I think that's probably a good approach, better than trying to buy closing lows, okay? Anyway, let me zoom that in for you. This AXTI, which we caught a pretty good run in the service, but we got knocked out. It's up 1120. And you can see there's some pretty big gains in here. One thing to notice is most of the big winners have been in here for a while. Okay, so it's the ride your winners, cut your losses short. If you follow up on, I put it up on Substack, and I also I published my commentary for free on Substack. I put the whole list under behind a firewall, and then I give the list to my clients on gold clients or above on Facebook whenever they ask for it or whenever I update it on Substack. But anyway, you can follow it on Substack to see these as they get added. But the point I'm trying to make there is you'll notice that if you go in and look at the closed trades for the week, you'll notice that most of them, especially the ones that are losses, were put on recently, okay? And so the idea is cut your losses short and then ride your winners. And then another thing that's going to happen, because we have so many great looking stocks out there, is even though a stock's not super weak to be weak enough to be pulled out, if something is stronger, it might displace it, okay? So if it's, let's say, down 10% or up 10%, just kind of chopping around or whatever, and going mostly sideways, and there's the market just keeps going higher like it is, stronger stocks will likely start to replace some of those weaker stocks in there. Because we want the best of the best. It's like building a football team, okay? Or your fantasy football team, I should say. You don't want to, one guy, I went to one of those drafts once just to watch it, and thinking I would just hang out with the guys and drink beer, and they were all buried in their laptops. You know, I'm like, I'm burying computers 12 hours a day. I don't want to, in my leisure time, be looking at stats and stuff. But anyway, one of the guys' strategy was he would buy all the injured players with the hopes that they come back. And I think that sounds like a losing strategy as opposed to buy the best players you could afford. And that's what you should do in stocks, is buy the best players you could afford. What's his name? Who did Beckham play for? Manchester United, maybe? But I have it written down somewhere. It's an excellent quote. And there was a documentary on Beckham. It's pretty good, believe it or not. It was really enjoyable. And basically, he was saying, you're never going to fall in love with your players, because he was much more eloquent than I'm trying to say it. But basically, you're going to have to get rid of them at some point and bring in somebody new. And that's how you should treat your portfolio. And it's hard. I mean, there's a whole psychology behind that. There's the heirloom effect, where the longer you own something, the harder it is for you to give it up. Anyway, it's like you don't want to get rid of an old friend. All right, anybody, any questions on all that? We'll go ahead and shift gears and hop into crypto. Yeah, Brian, back to that DNN. If you go in and watch the archives to the week of charts, and especially go back to the beginning, and you'll see how I picked those stocks and what my thinking was. And, you know, here's the other thing you can do too. This is absolutely free. And it's a wonderful exercise, if I say so myself. And if you know anybody else that does it out there, tell me, because I want to go see what they're doing. I want to learn from them, just like I learned from all these wonderful traders that I had the opportunity. I was blessed with this opportunity. And I know some of that helped. Some of me helped, kind of willed it to happen, that I wrote an article 95 or 96 for Stocks and Commodities. Again, I'm from the 1900s. And that kind of launched my whole career. I got involved with some hedge funds, and then Larry Connors hired me on with TradingMarkets.com. It was Trade Hard before that, and I was doing research for him, and then I eventually started doing a trading service and other things there. But that's where I got to see all these traders actually trade. It was pretty cool. Anyway, let's take a look at crypto real quick. If you guys want to look at any crypto pairs, let me know. I haven't paid a whole lot of attention to crypto lately. I don't know, shame. I really need to, because I always tell you to watch markets even when they're not worth watching, because you never know when new opportunities will come along. But now that Bitcoin's beginning to wake up, you can see lots and lots and lots of Landry Light. I think we have an upside bow tie with that, okay? And I'll see if I can pull that up in background while we wait on that. So you see Landry Light, downside Landry Light here, okay, upside Landry Light here. And if we take a look at the bow tie proper order, could see Bowtie downtrend proper water, be out or short, okay? Neither one, be out because it's chopping around. But notice that we've got some green, or we have some green, I should say. My big concern, though, is we have a ton of overhead supply here. Now, here's the good news. The crypto stocks are beginning to wake up. Take a look at HUT, for instance. Breakout to all-time highs. Nice persistent move. Maybe on a pullback. Woof comes to mind. I don't know about Iran and Riot, but certainly Woof has been looking pretty good lately. Look at that. Breakout to all-time highs. That really hung in there, right? And then what's Iron doing? Not as impressive, but it is an uptrend proper order, and then Riot. So maybe start watching these crypto stocks, especially HUT and Wolf, because they seem to be doing pretty good. Now, as I've said a million times, sometimes when Bitcoin's doing well, you can come in here and just buy the strongest pairs. Ideally, I want to see them closing in on new highs as opposed to bottom fishing. But again, I'm going to start paying more attention to this once again, I promise. I've just been so consumed with everything else. But I don't see anything that I'd really have to have at this juncture. But eventually, some of these might be worth going after. And the great thing here, at least it used to be the great thing, as I've said quite a bit, your bull and bear cycles used to be like 6 weeks, and lately it's been a little funky with Bitcoin dropping as much as it has. But I wouldn't put your life savings into crypto, maybe a few thousand dollars, and play around with it. But it is a good market to learn the ups and downs of trading, because your cycles generally are so short. So if you're gonna trade stocks, your cycle's gonna be a lot longer. Your ultimate goal, I would recommend, is that you could trade both, but definitely your ultimate goal should be stocks. But I think crypto does help to get your reps in and understand trading a little bit. Okay, so that's crypto. Let's shift gears and get to stocks. Speaking of stocks, and then if you have any questions on anything, just fire away. I'd be happy to look. And let me see. We can check on YouTube. Okay, we'll get back to that in a second. So here's the Landry 100, just by accident, has to be up. And then let's see what the big winners are today, okay? The great thing about this list is it obviously shows you where the momentum is. Look at that, okay? Look at that stock, it's huge. I feel like Tiny Elvis. Okay, so maybe in a pullback, this might be worth a shot. But you can see some really fantastic looking setups, especially in the semis. Probably should have a few biotechs in here, but mostly semis. There was that Wolf. Okay, so you're able to see what's waking up and where you might want to trade next. We were long recently. I don't know if it's still in here. PL, this is one that we were long. It was in the list. We were long with that AXTI. So you'll see a lot of the strong stocks that we trade were in here. Was it CMT? The LNT. Okay, see. Yeah, Calumet's in here. Okay, it's not set the world on fire, but it's in here. So most of the stocks that we trade do find their way through the Landry 100. If you guys want to look at any individual stocks, let me know now. We'll take a look at the market, and then I'll be happy to look at any individual stocks. YouTube, I can't see the screen right now. I got a monitor that's not on. So I'll come back to you in just a second. P's are coming back a little bit today, kind of narrow range trading. I'd actually like to see a bull flag. I'd like to see them kind of drift lower a little bit, do something like this, okay? I don't want to see them wedge higher. That, believe it or not, that's actually kind of negative. If they kind of lose steam and just kind of drift higher, I'd almost prefer them, or certainly would prefer them, to drift lower. That would be a bull flag. But we do need a little bit of a correction. If we can stay at these levels for a while, everybody can adjust to the new levels, we no longer will be so overbought. And that's called walking off and overbought. condition, but so far so good. Looking pretty good. Ideally, I want to see a pullback. If you're on a trading service, you hadn't seen the setup in a few days or maybe a few weeks, because one, the market just went straight up. Methodology requires a pullback. So okay, now we're looking at longs. We're looking at shorts. What's that? A couple of weeks ago, into March, we're still looking at charts, right? Even into April, but then the market melted up. So believe in what you see and not in what you believe. NASDAQ looking pretty good. All-time highs just yesterday, off a little today, but looking pretty good. Longer term, EFA shares have been kind of lagging. They stalled out. This is non-US stocks. They stalled out right at the prior peak and sold off a little bit. So EFA shares not very impressive at this juncture. Russell 2000 hanging in there, okay? Just off of all-time highs. So far, so good there. Some areas a little concerning. The transports got whacked yesterday. They're coming back today, though, but they have a bit of a double top look to them. I'd like to see them bang up new highs and not look back for a while. Defense, in spite of the wars and stuff, just looking abysmal, okay? Retraced to the 50 and then it rolled right back over. So that's looking kind of ugly. Gold stocks haven't been looking fantastic either. You can see they retraced to the 50, same sort of pattern happened there too, and sold off. Kind of bigger picture top looking. Biotechnologies were looking pretty good. Getting whacked a little today though, and it failed to make all-time highs. The good news is the XBI, if I could find it, well, there it is, just made all-time highs and so far it's pulling back. It cleared this prior base, okay? The IVB, a little concern here because it hasn't gotten through this prior base and then it's getting whacked a little today. So that's a little bit of a concern. Some of these areas in longer term downtrends like software are trying to bottom out a little bit. And again, that's a great thing about the Landry 100 is it shows you a lot of what's going on. And there are a few and growing number of software stocks, easy for me to say in that list. And that's based probably on the overall sector bottoming out a little bit. There are some leaders that are pulling out there, looking pretty good. Lithium has been doing fantastic. Maybe we'll see some setups here soon. Today, notwithstanding, just a little bit of a knockout move there. All service stocks, look at this. That's amazing. Breaking out to new highs. I wasn't bearish on these guys, but I was concerned that they traded sideways. But now they're breaking out to new highs. So that's kind of interesting. Unfortunately, though, the energies overall look questionable at best. Chevron and ExxonMobil and all these big stocks not looking so hot. So I wouldn't rush out and buy the all service stocks at this juncture, unless, of course, being a trade pilot moron, right? They keep on keeping on. Then maybe I'll look to trade some pullbacks along the way. So that's pretty much it. In general, things have been improving. Pot stocks took off yesterday, but they came back in. Pot stocks are just all over the place. They take off and come back in. So nothing to gleam here. Semiconductors, like I just said, look at that. Just continue to melt up in here. Just amazing run. Trees don't go to the sky. This is going to end. I hope it doesn't end badly, but a nice knockout move would be really good, okay? Scared the bejesus out of everybody, and then the market goes straight back up. Okay, any individual stocks you guys want to look at? And let me see if we can find the YouTube chat. Okay, quiet bunch today. Oh, YouTube's not sharing my screen. That's weird. I don't know what's going on with YouTube. Okay. Scott says good. I'm only saying good too. But hopefully he's talking about the show. All right. Any other questions while we're in impasse? Well, I'm sure I want to thank all you guys and girls for attending today. Appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedules. Anything unanswered? DaveLandry.com. Everybody have a fantastic weekend. To my Facebook peeps, I'll see you in a little while. Everybody else, hope to see you again next week. And in the meantime, may the trend be with you. Thank you so much.